I remember when we first started this whole podcast thing, we just came up with the name God Journey. Some people didn't like it. I think it's perfect. This is not about me. This is not my journey. I am a supporting actor in a greater drama that's going on. This is about him.
Thinking outside the box isn't about whether you go to a meeting or not. It's about breaking free of the obligations of religious performance and living in the adventure of a relationship with God as our Father.
Two little guys talking about life, that's good thing.
Slinging freedom all over the place and making no apologies, this is The God Journey.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And it's September already. Can you believe it?
If we're back in Denver again.
Again in Denver. In September.
How did that happen?
How was August for you? Did you have a good time?
That was marvelous. Oh, I had an amazing time.
If you haven't guessed by now, we've time warped into the future. We're still back in that hotel room in Denver back in July.
I thought the Hyatt Regency. Woo!
And we've got guests with us again. The true-faced guys, for lack of a better way to say it. But they actually have names. Bruce McNichol, John Lynch, and Bill Thrall. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Back again with us. And if you didn't hear the earlier podcast, there'll be a link with this. Go back and hear it first. Might be helpful to you. We're going to talk today a bit about their newest book that's just come out. That fortunately, Brad and I are getting to help publish
Bo's
with them.
Bo's Cafe.
Yahoo!
Due out late September.
So it will play.
Wherever books are sold.
Wherever. Yeah, wherever. And anywhere. So
everywhere books are sold.
So why'd you write this book, guys? Bo's Cafe.
We wrote it primarily to answer a question that a lot of readers of True Faced, as well as others, are asking, and that was...
This is Bruce, by the way.
Yeah. How do I find a safe place? And I want a safe place. I just have never found one. Where do safe places come from? And so we wrote it to kind of answer that question, and we wrote the book based on true stories, but a novel to say it really is possible to find one.
So True Faced was a nonfiction book, but this is a fictional story.
Yeah,
that's right.
Kind of sort out some of the same realities you guys were talking about in True Faced?
Very much.
Is there anything new in here that's not in True Faced, that some of your further discovery down the line?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Bill and Debbie.
Part of it is a process, even though it's a novel. We take our characters, our main character, through a process of protective love, which we think is an incredibly wonderful expression of God's grace. And in that process, we create in our story an awakening in our main character, and he meets someone through what we call the exchange, where we are able to offer protection once we have permission. And then there's an incredible breakthrough in a person's life. So that's a new process, and it's the process of protective love. And it's kind of like the theology and grace behind this novel.
Yeah, I think it's what you were saying before. We can nod our heads in affirming, oh, yeah, I believe that, and not get it at all. And just nod ourselves into a stupor of amnesia. But when you write a novel, somewhere in there, the story grabs you and you go, oh, shoot, they're talking about me. Doggone it, that's me. Okay, I'm stuck. All right, I'll listen now. Where you can keep yourself pretty objective in a didactic kind of book. But this one, over and over, we keep having people say, I was enjoying it. Yeah, I knew it was from you guys. I got your principles. And then, oh, shoot, that's me. Oh, gosh, no, that's not good.
Yeah, so when I read the book, yeah. I got a manuscript for him. It came through a friend to Brad, and then Brad shipped it my way. I didn't get any of that out of this book. I got a very endearing story about and we don't want to give too much of it away because people enjoy it, but it's a very endearing story about a guy who's having a struggle in his life, and he's got to confront grace, and he's struggling in the confrontation of that reality.
Well, we wanted to make it playful. We wanted to... I don't even know who would you cast for Andy. Andy's just this middle-aged, rumpled guy with a ball cap on. But
sounds like Brad.
Yeah, yeah. On a bad day, maybe. Yeah.
On a bad day.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm in it.
But there's enough playfulness in it, and there's just enough winsomeness in it that you can go along in it. And so we love the story. And the 1970 Buick Electra, to have them drive around in that has just been a just been a blast.
So you guys have one? Did you guys get a Buick Electra? So
we had one in Arizona, and it got sold, and it's in Suffern, New York now.
Suffern, New York?
Suffern, New York.
Suffern, New York.
You got to bring it out of Suffern.
Yeah.
You know what? What I loved about the manuscript is, you know, everyone had sort of fallen in love with what was going on with the shack. And it's like, as nice as that is, it's a story of a man's healing. He has an encounter with God up at the shack. It's like, well, great. Most of us can't really go up to a shack and hang out with the Trinity for a weekend. And what I saw in
what,
years,
you missed your week?
I am, yeah. Yeah. It was booked up. The reality was, this was a story that I got fascinated with because I saw a lot of the same sort of journey through being able to kind of confront what's going on there, not sure what's going to happen, and then you see it lived out in a very real-to-life setting of everyday life. And I kind of went, golly, in terms of something that's helpful, tangible.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that will go, well, that's really great, but, you know, I haven't had my note from God, and I haven't had my weekend, and
right.
they kind of want to, out of their own pain, disqualify it as if, well, nobody's met me in my mix. And your story just kind of sneaks up and kind of invites you to say, well, maybe that could happen.
Yeah, could it?
Right here.
In day to day.
You'd let it.
Right.
Inside the relationships that might already be around your life.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like you can reject that, and I sort of feel like it does a leg sweep on a lot of people's excuses of why they get stuck.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went, in terms of helpful follow-on truths, is because we got a bunch of readers that are going on a journey going like, oh, what else you got? And it's like, well, when I saw this, I kind of went, wow, that was... I saw something that would be helpful food for the journey.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious is we then met Bruce. We're in some
Los Angeles.
Another Hyatt.
One of my most disgusting places to visit down that street.
Santa Cruz City. Yeah. We're in a swanky place in town. Yeah. McWayne prefers Carl's Jr.
It's the traffic. Any day.
Hey. We're sitting there meeting Bruce, and you guys are about to go to print the next day.
Monday. Yeah. Monday. This is Friday.
That's right.
It's changed. As we tell the story now, it was 4 minutes now. We've gotten it down to 4 minutes.
Yeah. The print, it was about to hit the press. Yeah. The press.
You could hear it whirring. It was spinning. Yeah.
So you guys don't have issues with the truth.
No. You're willing to give that up?
Yeah. True face. Yeah.
The reality is, you know, I'm looking at this, and part of me is going like, I don't know. You know, I got that look. I'm looking at Wayne. He's looking at me like he's about to kick me under the table. Like, don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, we're sitting there, and he's saying, you know, he's saying, what do you guys think of the book? And, you know, Brad and I had a number of things we thought this book could be a lot better and thought we might be invited into that process. But then he said, we're printing on Monday. So I'm just like going, no, we're not. And so even when he said, no, I want to know what you think, I said, no, you don't. And no, we're not telling you. And he really just said, no, I really want to know what you guys think of the
Thanks
story
for doing that, Bruce.
And what you would do. And I honestly, I don't like messing people up that late in the process. Because I'm poor Bruce. I mean, you can say thank you to Bruce. You can't believe what he looked like in the middle, at the end of that meeting. I won't say the amount of money. If we delay this, he just looked like, you know, we beat him with a stick.
Yeah. I was
Bruce,
so,
how did you feel after that?
Oh, I was so excited.
This was last, what, October? Or?
That's your excited look?
Oh, that
I'm telling you,
you missed it.
We got the car. We felt so bad. How can we do that to a guy we just met?
But I was so conflicted because I was excited and because we had been looking for the answer to several things in the story, and we couldn't come up with it. We knew there was something that was slowing the story down, and when you began to give the answer that we had talked about before and missed, I said, you know what? That's what this trip was about. And then I realized in the very next second, oh, no. We were supposed to go to print. We're going to have to trash this typeset. We just paid money for
it.
We were going to self-publish it.
You had sales going on. People were advance ordering
this
book.
And I didn't know if what I was hearing from you was going to be the same thing that Bill and John would hear from you.
You mean they might have a different
idea? They might have a different idea. But within 20 minutes, I will say within 20 minutes, that next Monday, we had a meeting together, and I told them about our meeting on Friday, and they said, that's it. Let's go.
Because and by Wednesday, you were in my house.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You guys back from Phoenix, in my house.
And you just storyboarded it. We looked at the story, and honestly, you tweaked four things, but it, which made about a 9 months of work for me.
Sort of significant.
It was more work for us.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact. It was a God thing. It was just a profound God thing for you guys. You didn't know us and had no gain for...
In fact, we were encouraging you, as I recall.
That's right.
Even with the fixes we gave you, go ahead and self-publish.
That's right.
You know, you guys had that in your financial scheme, and there's some real benefits to self-publishing if you've got distribution channels. And we were even trying to talk you out of coming with us. Yes, hey, here's some great ideas. Because I think we're just nuts about good stories being available to the body of Christ. We don't have to be in all that.
Don't really cut it as normal publishers.
We can shoot out at meetings like this, exactly. People look at us and go, you can't do that with people. We're going, why not? We can give ideas to make a story, and if you guys want to go do it on your own,
God bless you. You said it that day. You said, guys, we're going to help you with the story because we love the story. We're going to help you whether you publish with us or not. And I thought, oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that was exciting for me is I'm really excited to release this to a growing audience that I'm going, I want them to know about it. Yeah. And, you know, we would have done that whether you'd self-published it or not. Yeah. But there's a sense of going, I love the fact that this is in sync with the God we're trying to reveal.
Amen.
And it's a compelling story. So in terms of the things that matter to us, it's like, yeah, this unveils something of God's heart to draw us into a place of honesty, of openness, of being able to be real. You know, without using your tag True Faced, it's allowing a story to unveil that. I mean, principles are nice, but I think a story comes as a gift to a wider audience because, you know, when we kind of, someone's doing the preaching thing, most people kind of glaze over like, okay, somewhere this is lunch afterwards. And
when they tell a story, people connect.
And people can come in at whatever level. You know, this is a great read whether you understand the depth of what's being unveiled or not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would be as exciting if it was a bunch of mini sermons just, you know, filtered together.
Right.
But the fact that there's an engaging story, I mean, when Wayne kind of said, you know, because I said, well, what do you think? And he said, man, I found myself rooting for these characters at the end, hoping that they would get it. And it's like, you know, when a story is able to do that, somehow it crawls inside your heart, you know you've done something that's a little cut above. And so, I mean,
that's how Sarah and I evaluate everything. We watch a movie. We'll be in a movie theater. You got 15 minutes to make me care about these characters. If we don't care, we look at each other 15 minutes and do you care? Nope. We're out of here.
Wow.
In a book, I give it about 25, 30 pages. Do I care? Mm-hmm. And at the end of this, I was reading the manuscript with my wife. We've been traveling, and we were in Virginia, and we were actually early getting to our next place. So we stopped at McDonald's to get a Diet Coke, and we started just sitting here and read for a little bit. I was reading the end of the story. This is actually on the rewrite part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in McDonald's with a story I'm already familiar with, reading that last conversation that I won't be specific about for listeners. But I'm sitting at McDonald's crying my eyes out, and Sarah's looking at me going, what are you doing? She was reading the first bits, and she was loving it. And I can't wait to get to that bit. And I'm just, I was so rooting. Not even, after you read this, people understand, I wasn't so much rooting for the guy. I was rooting for his wife.
Amen.
And that's the jewel of this. So I think guys will love this, because I think women will love this because of Lindsay's honesty in dealing with the roadblock in her life.
I agree.
Yeah. That's right.
I thought it was going to be for 34-year-old businessmen when we first started writing it, the business executive, Stephen. And then I realized, no, it's a husband and wife book. And then, no, it's not that. I keep having college-age students saying, this is for me. I'm caught off guard by the range of audience that it's hitting. So.
Well, there's enough odd characters in there that you got to check your pulse.
If you can't find you in there, you'll definitely find your neighbor.
Wait a minute. I know a bunch of people on my street that are in that. I get that.
That's great. That's fun. So how are you guys now? We reworked it some, and then we had a great day. Mick, while Brad is lounging on the beach in Mexico.
Yeah.
I was interceding for you, praying, and I think I almost texted.
We had a very...
I almost texted. I almost texted.
I felt that.
We had a
fairly intense day for people that don't know each other well.
Yes.
That are toying with a story that's very dear to your heart.
You're rearranging the face in their child.
Really? Literally, we got an editor that helps us with some of these things. He and I were in with you guys.
Yes.
In an all-day meeting. That
after we'd written a ton.
Rewritten a ton, and we had still had some things we hoped we could do. Talk about that day, if you guys don't mind. What was that day like for you guys? I know what it was like from my side of it, but what was it like from yours? Was more work piled on your plate. Was that what it felt like?
No, at times, because you had said, guys, this is your book. We're not going to impose our stuff on it. Now I'm going, wait. They're going to publish our book. They're not. Are they still saying that? Do you still mean that? Because you had some pushbacks. You had some spots where you went, I don't like this. I don't want this to happen this way. I wish you'd hear me on that. And we had to go through our thing of, do I trust you? Do I trust you're for us? Do I trust? And that all that's going on all day long. Do I think that this is a hobby horse of yours, or do I think that you really care about what we're trying to do? And all that's being shaped during that day. And I'm looking over at you going, are you for real? Because this is our baby, you know. And so I was going through that day.
Amazing.
And it was a powerful, powerful day. And we came out with owning each other, trusting each other, and making some changes that I think made the book unbelievably better. So that's what I came out of.
That's neat. Some of the rest of you.
It was interesting, in one of the tensive points, I remember John saying to you, Wayne, you don't believe that, Wayne.
I remember the point.
Exactly. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We're in a process about a book, but we're in a relationship with two guys. And what's happening is we're kind of being tested, and they're kind of being tested. What do we really believe here? How big a deal is this? And
we don't have to believe the same thing
exactly,
to be brothers.
Exactly.
We don't.
Exactly.
Because we're still growing, so I might see it wrong. You might get something God's adding to your life.
Right.
We don't know that yet because we're just in this active process.
And the thing that I really personally appreciate about that, Wayne, was the fact that as tensive as some of those two or three moments were, the book and our relationship wasn't at risk. We just agreed that we don't see it the same way. And that, to me, was the healthiest part of the day.
Because at the end of the day, it was your book. There are things I still wish we could have changed.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm not publishing my book. I'm publishing
the entire book. Oh, my gosh. Emails, anything. He'll put it in websites.
It's his escape.
I had to get in the podcast. So when I get hate mail for publishing this, I that was one of those pieces.
There it is.
That was one of those.
Re-listen.
I agree with you. That's what I tried to tell
you. I didn't try.
I came away from that day just with a magnificent appreciation for what Jesus is doing in his family.
Yeah.
With a minimum of relationship and yet a maximum of being brothers at a table.
Well,
fighting different points of view, but not fighting each other. I like what you said, Bill, about that.
Amen.
Didn't have to agree at the end of the day. Made each other interact with different thoughts. And at the end of the day, we completed it, first of all.
Yeah.
We felt like the story had become better. We felt like you guys felt that. And it wasn't just, we better do this because they're the windblown guys and they're going to torment us. I came away just with a deep appreciation for which I have almost when I travel in. I meet with a whole bunch of people this weekend in Colorado Springs that I most of them I just met this trip. But I love what God's doing in the family. We haven't shaped our cohesiveness by man's effort. The Holy Spirit is shaping stones that he can put next to each other, and they fit.
You're describing,
and the relationship can grow.
You're describing, in my opinion, the room of grace. We're finding each other and saying, you know what? We're not going to agree on everything, but I'm not going to walk away from you.
You know the God I know.
Absolutely.
I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're now, in this season of history, it feels like a bunch of us are finding each other. And books like The Shack, and books like Bo's, and books like He Loves Me, they're helping us find each other because it's giving common language, and then we're meeting up with each other and testing it out. And that's what we did that day. We went, are you who you purport to be? You know, and yeah, I'm not going to agree with you. There's some things that you said that day that you put in the book where I went, oh, I hope that helps it, you know, but
we'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your disclaimer.
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, that was Brad's thing. That's what I was saying.
We tried to get that out, but you know how publishers can be.
But at the end of the day, we have each other's back on this thing. You're going, that's a book that I trust. That's a book that I trust. And you go, that's powerful.
Trust is big with you guys, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
that was one of the big things we talked about.
Yes,
it was.
That's right.
Yes, it was. Because we're on a little bit different page on the whole trust issue. You guys see it as a very important part of a growing relationship. I think I tend to see it as more of the fruit of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
I'll trust you to the degree that I know that you'll lay down your life for me. And so that's a more intuitive byproduct than it is a willful choice. But you guys don't quite see that the same way.
I think we would say that, though. I think trust is not something you can demand of someone. It is something.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. You guys have seen the light.
When is it released?
Oh, that's great. I mean, and that's all part of what communication is, isn't it? Because
that's right.
Somebody says something, and they don't always hear it the way it's said. The interaction that's allows right. that to play out.
But go figure. What publishers and authors get to have this? I mean, get to play that out. And that was a powerful gift for us.
None at the convention.
Yeah, well, no, seriously.
I know. Well, we're not really publishers.
I don't want to make posts
first. You know what? It's best that you not tell us that, okay?
We have your book now. Yeah. We can tell you the truth. Yeah. No, but the fact is, the collaboration that we got to experience, I think this is as an author working with previous publishers.
Absolutely.
No, you don't get that. Not that the publishers won't come to you and say, we think you need to change this. But 90% of the time, what they want to change is, we want to make your book more marketable and more palatable right. in a way that undermines the message.
Right.
That's the danger. And I love when you said the first day you were with us, and you didn't say anything, Bill, almost the whole time. At the end, you just like, I was just sitting here making sure, what about our message did you want to change? And you were pretty surprised we weren't going for that.
Right. That was very important to us, and I verbalized it. And I think it's one of the reasons that you are comfortable to us is that we see ourselves mostly as stewards of a message of grace. And you were willing to say, we believe that for you. And therefore, that felt really safe. I remember after that first day, when we were alone, that to me touched my heart the deepest.
Wow.
Without anything else.
You guys don't know. My friend Bill Thrall got in the car after we had lunch together, after being with you, and he wept. Because he felt God's.
People often cry when they leave me.
I was crying too. He's so mean. But it's that very thing of what you were talking about earlier, that there's something in that environment that says, no, this is safe, this is real, this is true.
Well, why that doesn't happen, going back to the whole why this synergy doesn't always happen. We're facing now with a project we're kind of interested in, and initially a guy approaches us, could we be involved in the project, and we're talking about it. And then the next conversation is, well, I've been told I need to get an agent, get a contract, and get an advance. Hmm. And we went, see, what we know about that is once somebody's under contract with us, their desire to shape the story gets lost in protecting what they've written.
Yeah.
And what that means for us is, if we're going to help this guy, we're saying is, we don't want you under contract until we know the story's at a place, because the story right now isn't one we would produce.
Right.
If we can what that means is, we can help you shape that story, help this guy.
Yeah.
And he can. And here's what they're telling us. You don't do that, because if you don't have him under contract, you put all that work in, he has no commitment to you, he can walk off and publish it anywhere else he wants to. And that really is the risk. So no collaboration happens, because everybody's got to protect their stake before they make an investment
right.
in making something better. And to be honest, we're tested in that level too. I mean, I don't know where we're coming out on that whole thing ourselves. But I am I have lived my whole life, last 15 years, I have lived my life not doing things for people because it was my job. But I just got to live to help people the way God's asked me to help people, with no thought of having a stake, a financial return, whatever. And I have missed this 3-year window of being, quote-unquote, a publisher, in which it's postured very differently. Now you're the guy that's got to enforce a contract or make somebody do what they promised they would do and now don't want to do it. And it's miserable for me. I hate it. I'm looking to find my way back out of that because I would rather help guys like you. And then if Brad wants to publish, great. I'm going to go on to the things God's asked me to do.
I think I don't know where this phrase came up in our discussions at different times, but a rising tide floats all boats. There's a sense of going like, you know what? Whether we ever put Windblown's name on this release or not, the reality was I loved the story and the message that was there. Whether we saw everything the same or not, I was going like,
didn't matter.
There's so much that I do resonate with this.
Absolutely.
Whether they sign off on the finer points of how my personal preference might be to shape it this way, or versus yours to shape it that way, there was a sense of going like, this is a gift to a wider audience. So if we can marry those two things, I was going like, gosh, whether they do it with us, whether they take it someplace else, whether they take these ideas, if they resonate, it doesn't matter. It's like, God, can you accomplish your purpose through this?
Well, we believed you in that, and that's humility. I mean, it really is. And for us, we came to a place where we knew it. In fact, we were getting mad at each other because we didn't know how to solve it. Some stuff in the story that we couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And when we listened to you, when Bruce heard you first, and then on that day when we storyboarded, it took humility from us to say, okay, we can't do this, but these guys can. And it just made it an incredibly much better book.
Well, I wanted to ask a question. I mean, we're at a book convention. Books galore everywhere, okay? There's no other book out there that's got three names on it. What's up with that? I mean, you guys are not exactly following the trends either. And, right. and what does it mean that there's three names that are on that book?
Well, in an earlier iteration of this book, we went to a very large publishing house, and they sat with us. And the
larger
guy,
than Windblow?
A little bit. I mean, this was years ago. I mean, but that was his first statement. He says, we don't do books with three authors, you know, and said, well, I guess you don't do our book, you know, but what we're trying to do, one, none of us can write a good book by ourselves. I think we just need to admit that. But two, we just each bring strengths to it that the others don't have. Like these guys are the wisdom, and I'm the storyteller, and I could write a great story with nothing to say, or they could have a bunch of wisdom without anecdote. But
give me the anecdote.
So that's true, but there's something else we're modeling in having three authors, and that's to say, wait, the very thing that we value, this community of not walking away, we're going to keep living out. You're going to keep seeing these three authors on everything that they do. And I keep saying, well, I've got a book inside me I want to write. And Bill goes, what mean me, Kemosabe? we'll all do
just
it together.
Just like that, the way I talk when I'm not in a room like this.
Yeah. But do you do foreign language?
But he said, we'll do it together. We'll stand with you in that one, too. And I go, yeah, that's what I want.
See, I think that's what fascinated me early on, where you're just going like, gosh, these guys are on just as a bizarre a page as we were, kind of going like, those things are not important, but they are very important. Your individual glory, you all decided wasn't important.
Yeah. Amen.
The power of that message and modeling the fact that, guess what comes out of one is nice, but what comes out of all of us is probably going to be truer and better.
Amen.
If we'll allow that. I mean, it is a picture of God's grace in action. Yeah. Where you're just going like, you know what? I am the sum total of all the people that have invested in my life.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
The power of the Holy Spirit that's allowing that life to be lived out.
Amen.
I am not me. Mm. Nothing I do is just me.
And Brett, I've had to be in an environment to learn that, because I think all my life I thought I was going to be this famous Lone Ranger. And it's very fleshly. It's very self-serving. But it's the model that's out there.
Why you talk like Tonto.
Yeah. but if we walk across the street, that's still the motto. It's still that famous superstar that we lift up, instead of saying, no, just like we're doing here, a community's putting this thing out. And the boats will rise as the water rises. it'll float.
I think part of it is a heart set. I think you have a, I have in my heart a reality that I really need Bruce. I really need John. I mean, I really believe that. And
what's that do when he says that?
Oh, it enlivens me. It inspires me, and it increases my commitment back. It also helps me to go, now let's see, I need Bill, and how do I need Bill? What are those ways in which I need Bill? Also, I think that friendship in the body of Christ is just one of those lost things under all of this rubble of performance and such. Friendship, which is what Christianity is about, is lost. So we want to hopefully model some of that.
Amen. Yeah, said I love you with the love of the Lord stuff, even though I might hate your guts.
Exactly. Yeah. We grew up in that environment.
Yes.
Well, we did too.
Yeah, that's very painful.
I heard some guy tell me, the first pastor I was at, 22 years of age, I'm on staff at this church, this guy comes up to me, saying, when they hired you, I didn't want you to come here. Nothing about you I like. But God's given me a love for you.
This helps me out. Wow. The warm, fuzzy feeling in my heart is, it's gone.
I missed something in the translation just now.
But, we just went down to New Zealand. We just spoke at some conferences down there. But I honestly think all that was secondary to the three of us going out and having some wine in a restaurant and just
Welch's, right?
Fructose-based non-alcoholic product. Yeah, yeah. Apple.
You do believe that Jesus went to Canaan and turned the wine into water, don't you?
Yeah. Not the wine into water. That's just,
yeah. This one, then, he didn't get to.
Just kidding.
But to be able to hang out and just tell each other, affirm each other, and also have the honesty to say where we hurting each other, where are we missing each other. And, man, I want that. If the goal of this thing is, after spending 20 years with these cats, is that I never was with my friends, and I was wasting time with people that I was just using, what a dead life. Dead life. But to say, I got to do it with some of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Some of my best friends in the whole world. And that's what these guys have become. And is what a great life. What a well-spent life to get to do something meaningful with friends.
Just curious, do your wives connect with each other at the same level? Yeah. As couples?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, it's interesting. You look at the beginning chapters of Genesis, and here you have a perfect garden. This is, before the fall, and there's Adam, and God makes a comment, before it's all messed up, it's not good that you're alone.
Amen.
And I think we stumble past that in its simplicity, is the fact that it's not like, oh, gee, it's really messed up because you're by yourself. No, it's just, I think we were intended to be relational.
Yeah.
How do you understand love apart from relationship?
You can't.
Okay, so I can't understand it in a vacuum. I'm not going to get it by myself. Me and Jesus will go a long way as far as, I love the fact that you guys don't seem to be in a weird, codependent, dysfunctional kind of, well, we need the three of us. Yeah, I love the fact that it's like, you came out last time, Bruce, and it wasn't the three of you.
Yeah.
And you took the lead on a bunch of stuff, and so it's like, gosh, I'm getting to know you apart from them.
Yeah.
But then when I read the story, I start to see the you as related to them.
Right.
And that's just fascinating, because I think that's where we experience grace. It's a theological concept.
Absolutely.
That someone can say, but I only get to have a feeling of emotions of that when it's played out in a relationship. Mm. When we don't always agree.
Mm.
Well, when we do see something differently.
Mm.
I mean, we joked, I'm in Mexico, but I'm sitting there going like, man, I wanted to be there because I wanted to fight for some of our ideas. And so I was really excited.
You
when
guys
I
be
heard
thankful
the,
he wasn't there.
Yeah. Maybe God intended something different.
It wouldn't have been done in a day.
thank you.
You're welcome.
But it was exciting to be able to hear a report back of going, the things that mattered had a resonance.
Amen.
In everyone's heart. And I just think there's a safety and a discernment that just says, you know what, on the things that are probably very essential, maybe we can trust what the Holy Spirit is doing inside the us I don't know if I can always trust what he's doing just inside me.
Amen.
But when I see that reflected in a sense of agreement, where I'm not like you, but we both can see something that's happening, I think if the body learned to live that way, we'd be a little further down the road.
Yeah. Well, it's demanded that people like publishers and authors live this out and model it, and we're doing it. We're getting to do it imperfectly and mess up, and we've had email conversations back and forth that you probably go, oh, what are they after this time, you know? But we're doing it. We're getting to model it. I mean, our motto or statement is we want to leave behind a wake of tens of thousands of environments of grace. Well, this is one of them, right here in this room, and that's where it has to start. We can't legislate it. All you can do is model it and let people watch it and say, wait, there's some other places that are trying it. They really are committed to trying it. And we'll continue to stumble through this. I know we'll get crossways with each other, just like I'll get crossways with Bill and Bruce and my wife, but I'm not going anywhere. And that's a powerful, powerful gift. And then that's others get gift. To watch it tested
that's
out.
That's a great gift.
Yeah. It's huge.
Let's get back to the book. We got a few more minutes here
sure.
before we're done. We haven't talked a lot about the book, but it's hard to talk about a fiction book because you don't want to ruin it for people. What are some of your hopes? Maybe just express it about leaving thousands and thousands of examples of grace behind. But as this book gets ready to release, what's the anticipation in your heart? What's being breathed into you guys?
Well,
hope, fear,
Bruce
terror?
Bruce mentioned earlier, but I know one of my hopes is that our readers will get in touch with the reality that grace is something more than a theological word and an understanding, that it actually is the basis for the way we live in Christ. And if that can be coming through that book, then I personally will be elated with our readers getting that.
What's that one quote we were talking about earlier? Can you guys find it? I'd paraphrase. You remember what it is, John? Maybe you just remember enough of...
I'm not.
Andy's talking to Stephen about, and he's really saying this sounds too good to be true, too easy to.
Yeah, I
it was something. Sure. In fact, I don't remember. We were going to look it up and we forgot.
Make something up and we'll go. If it's good, I'll. Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since I've looked at many other manuscripts since, so I'm not sure I have it firmly in my head. But it was a whole idea of you're trying. The thought behind it was you're so schooled in religion, you yes. have no idea how fast grace or how much grace will change you.
Yes.
And that's, I think, how grace mostly gets talked about in the family, is it's just an unconditional love to let you kind of do whatever right. you want to do. Instead of, no, grace is our access to the Father.
Absolutely.
Who out of that relationship transforms, and grace will transform you 1,000 times faster than law and human effort ever.
Amen.
Well, the tagline, the challenge of, okay, how do you summarize a story that's several hundred pages that takes you in a whole journey and do it full justice? And what was fun is the process of trying to go, okay, really, how do you distill what's in this? And I don't know that our tagline is captures every essence, but to say where grace finally wins,
yeah.
It talks about the fact that this is a struggle. It's a process. It's not an
Amen.
Instant pill.
Well,
you know?
What I That's love, there's this cat and mouse game where Andy is saying, I want to love you. I want to stand with you. I want to protect you. And Andy plays, Stephen plays a game with it, and at least 10 times goes back and forth, which we all do. So that's what I love is the reality and the time, and that it's not an instantaneous pill or a quick fix, but there's people saying, I'll stay long enough to watch you until you finally say, help, I need help, I can't do this alone. And that's the thing I love in that. If it gives hope to our reader that says, wait, such a world is not a utopian, it's not a panacea, it's not someday during the millennial kingdom or something. I can know this now. There's people living like this now. And sometimes when people read this book, they get angry. They go, where has this been all my life? Why am I 48 years old and I've never experienced this or known this before? And so I love that response too, by the way, because
I love the process because religion basically teaches us commit your all to Jesus tonight or die. It's always this on-off switch. Yes. You either love the Lord completely or you don't love him at all. Exactly. Instead of, no, you grow into these realities. There's good starts, and then we retreat back to our own fears, right. And then we find a way into that's what I love about the process of this, because I think we've missed that. I think we've misserved the family
by
forcing people to choices before they're
the
ready.
The one appeals to the flesh, doesn't it? When you say, you've got to do this, absolutely. You've got, okay, I'll try. But to appeal to the new nature, you woo the new nature to come out and play. And that's what we're hoping in this book is as our readers go, oh, man, this is the life I want. Nobody's coercing me to buck up and try something harder that I've never been able to do in the past, but they're offering a way of life that is in me that I now get to play out. So I love the way you've said that.
I think one of the realities of grace is that grace is something you experience. And so many times we hear people teach, you get it in your head, and you got to move it to your heart. But just the opposite is actually true. Grace is something you experience, and it moves truth to the head. And when we understand that, then what happens is it's okay for us to not know. It's not okay for us to not understand and trust truth. And that's where grace, and that's one of the things we're hoping our readers will get, is just this careful but prayerful understanding that God intends me to experience his grace, both for my salvation and daily for my life.
And while you're doing it, just getting a wonderful story.
Yes.
About a pretty messed up guy and some other messed up people trying to find a way to live and love together and see God bring healing.
And I think our hope is, and I think it's one of the things that attracted you and you helped shape it in the story, is there's people who have not trusted Christ that I think are going to love this book.
Well, I think one of the things that absolutely fascinated me about the first manuscript was reading through it, and I love the shape that it finally takes in the end story, is here you have a story that's unfolding about, and there's a lot of biblical truths that are woven through it. I mean, there's a lot of good truth, but you're talking about something life transforming, and I wanted to ask you guys this question. Jesus is not a character in here. He's hardly referenced at all. And yet this is a deeply spiritual book. And at one level I went, well, that's odd. Okay? Honestly, I mean, at one level I went, that's
now
odd.
Now you're glad he was in Cabo.
But the other thing was, I sat there going, like, there was a brilliance that put me at peace. Because I also went, there's a lot of people that if all of a sudden your big flag that you're waving has the name Jesus on it, for them, that doesn't necessarily draw them closer. That isn't something that they understand. It's one of those religious switches that sometimes it turns them off. And I sat there going, like, I see Jesus in this story.
Yeah, amen.
But I don't see him trumpeted as some tool.
Amen.
And that was just fascinating.
That's very important to us, Brad.
Because I think so oftentimes evangelism and people's effort to reach the gospel is, you know, they say, oh, it's the good news, and yet when they show up, it feels like the bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, I just sort of feel like something's not working here. I don't feel like I measure up, and this whole book kind of unfolds that.
Wow.
And so I was curious in terms of how intentional for you guys. You guys are all about Jesus.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
But you got a story that honestly hardly mentions him. What's up with that?
Well, Jesus is all through the story, but he's the kind of the Jesus with skin on. So you see what we hope you would see in Jesus through Andy or through Cynthia, through Carlos, through all these characters.
Not Carlos. Certainly not Carlos. Certainly not Hank.
I wouldn't bring up Hank.
Yeah. Not Hank. Watch out for Hank.
And probably not Bo on a few days.
No, I've seen him in Bo.
Yeah.
Because you like
but
to eat.
That's where Jesus is. And so it's a redefinition of Jesus. Just like in the shack, you have a redefinition of God through those characters. The same thing is happening in Bo's.
That was very much intentional.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I was hoping that that was. I didn't know what the answer was. So part of me was like, oh, I hope I'm not saying something. Then they go, oh, really?
We just never got around to writing the actual words. We should have done that.
We need an appendix.
Give us a few minutes.
Our spell check changed.
To Andy, and we don't know why.
Well, there is a section where on the boat he really does intensely talk about Christ directly and overtly. But there is at some point, because you said it well, it's almost like that joke about the teacher is always asking the answer is Jesus. And the kid says, it sure does sound like a screwball. I'm going to say Jesus, you know. And it's,
why do you always go Southern when you tell that joke?
My Boston is not as strong. So.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's a joy to have you guys again.
Thank you.
Bill, John, Bruce, thank you guys for joining
us.
Trueface.com is the website if you want to find out more about these guys and how they interact with the body of Christ. This book, hopefully, will be every place out there that sells books by the time you hear this podcast. So go bug your local bookstore, jump online somewhere and order it. But really excited. And this is that scary part of we're just casting this bread upon the waters now. And Jesus, you do with it what you want. We're not master marketers, and by any stretch, we didn't market the shack to anything. We're just going to put it on the water and let Jesus resonate.
I was in the Phoenix airport today. I was just looking to see how Shack was doing. Was it still on the front table, you know, in the airport? And I looked in the back, and there was Bo's Cafe in the back page.
Back of the shack.
Yeah, it was just in the back of the shack. It was too cool. So.
Too cool. You like that, eh?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, we're excited about it. And before you write lots of cards and letters to us, about how Brad and Wayne dominate the conversation, and you didn't interview these guys.
Not
well.
Now.
Had these brilliant people in the room, and you guys dominate the whole time. This is a conversation, not an interview. And we're excited about this.
Pretty well, yeah.
So we wanted to talk about it as well. I guess we go home. Well, I go into Michigan. You go home.
I'm going home.
But this is October or September. I could be on my way to South Africa.
I'm totally confused in Time Warp podcast. This could be, I don't know, years later.
This was beyond your brain. It was fun to toy with it.
Thanks for letting us in your lives, guys.
This is great.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you for joining us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you may do so at our website, thegodjourney.com.